Again, I express my appreciation for you being here today. I encourage you to get your Bible and come with me back to the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. The book of Psalms. Did you know the Bible speaks of two kinds of people? The blessed and the cursed. In Psalm 37:22, it is written, "For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off." The final judgment will reveal both kinds or groups, the blessed as well as the cursed. In the judgment scene of Matthew 25, the picture is of Christ as the shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats and will say to those on the right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:34. But then to those on the left hand shall he say, as recorded in verse 41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It causes me to ask the question, who are the blessed? I want to be among those who are blessed, don't you? I don't want to be among those who are cursed, who shall be cut off, who shall in that day hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." One of the finest places to learn about the blessed man is from the book of Psalms, in that a number of times the psalmist uses that word blessed, and he uses that expression, "Blessed is the man." In your reading and in your study of this book, perhaps that has caught your attention. What I'd like for us to do is make a list of the blessed man of Psalms, and you might use this as a little checklist to measure ourselves as to whether or not we are the blessed man. I begin by turning your attention to the first psalm. As the psalmist says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man." Who is the blessed man? Well, first of all, the Bible says, "That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." As I make my study of the blessed man, I learn that there are some things said about how he walks, where he stands, and sits. Notice this statement expresses the progressiveness of sin in three words: walks, stands, sits. You might circle "walketh, standeth, and sitteth." It's not that he just sat down, but it started with his walk. You have to cut off sin at the very first step. You know, the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on where we walk and how we walk. Just read the book of Ephesians. In that, Paul uses the word "walk" a number of times to address the Christian's life. There are those who are described as ungodly. We must not walk in their counsel. There are those who are sinners, and sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. We must not stand in their way. And those who are scornful, he said not to sit in the seat of the scornful. When you think about the blessed man of Psalms, he's the man who walks not, stands not, and sits not in those counsel, ways, and seats. But as you make your study of the blessed man of Psalms, the second thing that's pointed out about him, from verse 2, look at it. The Bible says his delight, where's his delight? Is in the law of the Lord. You might circle that word "delight." What is it that brings you pleasure, gives you satisfaction? What is it that makes you happy? You know, there's some desserts that are called delight, like cherry delight, right? That might come to your mind when you hear that word delight. What about the law of the Lord? Would that come to your mind as well? Surely that ought to bring us the greatest happiness and satisfaction. In that the law of the Lord can do for us what nothing else can. Notice how it's beautifully described in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, when the psalmist said the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. When our delight is in the law of the Lord, we're going to read the law of the Lord. We're going to meditate upon it. We're going to believe it. We're going to practice it. We're going to be found teaching it to others. But in addition to that, as I look at who the blessed man is in this particular book, I realize from the first psalm that he is a man who not only meditates or delights in the law of the Lord, but he meditates in it. Look at Psalm 1 and verse 2. In his law doth he what? Meditate. What's that mean, to meditate? To think at length, to reflect upon, to ponder. What's he meditating upon? The law of the Lord. His law, that's God's law. When's he doing that, by the way? Day and night. That shows faithfulness. That shows consistency. It shows that he's regular when it comes to the Lord's law. You know, Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, talked about the importance of doing some meditating. He appealed to the young preacher to meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting or thy progress may appear to all. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 15. But also the blessed man of Psalms is described as a man who is like a tree. Look at that. Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessed man is like a tree. How's he like a tree? Well, he's planted. You know, it's important that you and I be planted, that we have our feet on the ground spiritually. That's true of a physical tree. You take an oak tree, for example. If it's not planted, if it's not rooted, it's going to topple over. And Paul, when he wrote the Colossians, emphasized the importance of their being planted. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Are you planted like a tree? Do you have a deep root system? Or are you like the seed that fell on the rock? And because it didn't develop a good root system, because it was shallow, lacked moisture, withered away. Also, when he talked about like a tree, not only did he use the word planted, but he talked about bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know, it's important when you plant a fruit tree that it be fruitful, right? What good is an apple tree that won't produce apples? Or an orange tree that you couldn't pluck an orange from? Well, you know, the Lord expects us as his people to be a fruitful people. In John chapter 15, the Lord likened us to branches, and he's the vine. And if you're familiar with vines and branches, you know that in order for the vine to be productive, it's got to be, the branch to be productive, it's got to be connected to the vine. In John 15, 1, the Lord said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do with it? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. How can you expect to be fruitful if you don't have the proper relationship with the Lord? There are those who have become severed from the Lord and they think that they're blessed. It doesn't work that way. The blessed man is the man that's like a tree, bringing forth fruit. And spiritually, that involves our being connected to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, from Psalm 1, could you check all these off? Do we walk not, stand not, sit not where we ought not? Do we delight in the law of the Lord? Do we meditate in it day and night? Are we like a tree? But notice further in the pages of wisdom literature who the blessed man is. I turn your attention now to Psalm 2. In Psalm 2 and verse 12, listen to the last sentence. Blessed are all they. I'm interested in what follows. Who are the blessed that put their trust in Him? And so who is the blessed man of Psalms? He's the one who puts his trust where? In Him, that is, in the Lord. Where are you putting your trust, by the way? Some trust in themselves. Some put their trust in men. Some put their trust in riches. In fact, Paul said not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God in 1 Timothy chapter 6. A number of times in the Psalms, the blessed man is said to be the man who trusts in the Lord, like Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 40 and verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And then Psalm 84 and in verse 12. Look at Psalm 84 and 12. As you think about blessed is the man. He said, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth. Trusteth in who? Thee. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was certainly a man who put his trust in the Lord. And one of the finest places that trust was exhibited was in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when the Philistine stood on a mountain on the one side and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them and a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath defied the armies of Israel. And all were dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17, 11. But David, a young man, a young shepherd boy, came on the scene and said in verse 37, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And armed with his staff, five smooth stones, a shepherd's bag, a scrip, and a sling. He approached this defying Philistine who cursed David by his gods, little g. And David said to the Philistine in verse 45, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee, how David come, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And then he said in verse 47, All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear and sword, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And David, in verse 49, put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed. David was blessed in that. He put his trust in the Lord. How about us? Where are we putting our trust? But again, from this blessed book, Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, in verse 1, Blessed is he. Who's the he? Whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What do you learn about the blessed man of Psalms from Psalm 32? His transgression is forgiven. And so the blessed man is a forgiven man. He uses that word imputeth in verse 2. That is, the Lord does not credit sin or iniquity or transgression to his account. And by the way, here are three different words that are used of the same thing. Sometimes it's referred to as transgression. Sometimes it's called sin. Sometimes it's called iniquity. It's all the same thing. Just different ways of expressing it. And anytime man transgresses, sins, or commits iniquity, it needs to be forgiven and covered. Now, notice how David availed himself of that forgiveness and covering. He said in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin. That's the first step. You'll never, ever be forgiven of your sin if you don't acknowledge your sin. You've got to be brought to terms with the fact, I have sinned. And mine iniquity have I not hid. You know, man has, from the beginning, tried to hide his sin. Remember Adam and Eve? He heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what do? Tried to hide. God said, where art thou? It's not that he didn't know where he was. He wanted man to know his standing before God. And began to try to blame somebody else. He said, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For the child of God who sins, forgiveness comes through confession of sin. In 1 John 1, 9, John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the alien sinner, he must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2, and in verse 38, that he might be the blessed man whose transgression is forgiven. Can we check that off? If there's sin in our life, we need to acknowledge it. We need to confess it to God and not hide it, that we might be forgiven. That the Lord will not impute or credit sin or iniquity or transgression to our account. But again, when you think about the blessed man, turn back to Psalm 49 and verse 4. The blessed man of the Psalms is the man who does not respect the proud. You know, the Bible often talks about the proud. What do you know about pride? The wise man said that pride goeth before destruction, and that pride goeth before a fall. The book of 1 Peter, as well as James, emphasizes that God exalts the humble and brings down or abases the proud. That's emphasized again and again. Read the book of Obadiah. It shows God's judgment on Edom. Remember the pride of Edom and how God brought Edom down? Or you think about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the statement of pride and how the Lord turned him into a beast of the field and made him eat grass. Had a unique way of humbling him, didn't he? You know, the blessed man is one who is a humble man, who does not respect the proud. But let me point out another thing from that same verse. And that is, in the last few words of Psalm 40 and verse 4, he does not turn aside to lies. That's important. You know, there are those who turn aside to lies. That is, to deceitfulness. They're dishonest. You know, if you are a liar, you've got to have a pretty good memory, don't you? Because you have to remember what lie you told to who and what story you told. And if you just tell the truth, you don't have to worry about all that, do you? Truth's consistent. In the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8, the Bible says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. How about when it comes to turning aside the lies? Have we done that? If not, then we can check that off, can't we? Not a turning aside to lies. You know, some have been sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie. There are those who believe a lie instead of the truth. And so I've got to be on guard. I must believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. Many false prophets are gone out in the world. Not everybody who comes along with this book in their hand is teaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if I'm not careful, I can turn aside to lies. I can believe that which is false. But then from Psalm 41 and verse 1, blessed is he, what's this about? Who considereth who? The poor. One time the Lord said, you have the poor always with you. The Old Testament made provision for the poor. Remember in our study of the law of Moses, the law that concerned the poor? Remember when it came to the farmer and he had his field? Remember something about the corners? Why did he leave the corners? For the poor. God's been mindful of the poor. The Lord said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. And so when you take care of those who are poor and you deliver a man that's poor, the Lord, when you find yourself in trouble, will deliver you. And so what's our attitude toward those who are poor, to those who are less fortunate than we are? We need to consider them. We need to be mindful of them. But also from Psalm 65 and verse 4, the Bible says, blessed is the man, who's the blessed man, whom thou choosest. And so number 10, I learned that the blessed man is the man who has been chosen by God. Have you realized that God has always had those known as his chosen? If you were living in the Old Testament, you know who would have been God's chosen? If you'd have been among the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7, it is said, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, today, who's God's chosen? God's chosen are those who are in his Son. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. And so, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Who is it today that is chosen by God? Those who are in Christ. And the way that I get into Christ, where I'm God's chosen, is by being baptized into him. Galatians 3 and verse 27. Which says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Let me ask you, are you chosen? Are you the blessed man? Are you in Christ? Can you check that off today? And it's not enough to just be baptized into Christ. You've got to stay there. You've got to abide there. John 15 talks about that in other places. But also from Psalm 84 this time, so I look to the Psalms to find out who the blessed man is. Psalm 84 and verse 4. Listen to these words. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Who's the blessed man? The blessed man is the one who dwells where? In God's house. Now that word house and God's house is used different ways. Sometimes it's in reference to the temple, the Old Testament place of worship. The house built by Solomon. But oftentimes, the word house is used in reference to the church. When we talk about God's house today, that's what we have in mind, isn't it? The church. I need to dwell in God's house. I need to dwell in the church, don't I? That's important today as we make application of that Old Testament principle, dwelling in God's house. You know, God's house is the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, when Paul said, if I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Are you dwelling in the house? Are you a house dweller? When I think about dwelling in God's house, I think about Anna. Remember, she departed not from the temple, but served God night and day with fastings and prayers. She didn't depart from the temple. And in that same sense, we ought to dwell in God's house. We ought not depart. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be regular. We ought to continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then in that next verse, Psalm 84 and verse 5, blessed is the man. You can't get away from that, can you? Do you know that expression was used so much in Psalms? Blessed is the man, what's the rest of that? Whose strength is in thee. And so the blessed man finds his strength in the Lord. Where's your strength? Who's your strength? Is God your strength? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. That's important. Psalm 94 and verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. So I learned that blessed is the man whom the Lord chastens. That is, whom the Lord disciplines. You know, the Bible connects the love of the Lord with being chastened by the Lord. The Hebrew writer picked up on that. He quoted that Old Testament principle and applied it in the book of Hebrews when he talked about better things. Notice, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, he said in verse 7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And then in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's no wonder then he quoted that statement in Proverbs 3:11-12 and said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That's Hebrews 12:5. Quoted from Proverbs 3:11-12. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chastens. You might not think of chastening or being corrected or disciplined as a blessing. But did you know the Bible says, blessed is the man who is chastened by the Lord? But that's not all. In Psalm 106 and verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Two things there. Judgment and righteousness. Can we check those off? Who is it that's blessed? They that keep judgment. And he that doeth righteousness. When? Some of the time? When folks are looking. When he's around the righteous. No. At all times. To do righteousness is simply to be righteous. To be right and to do right in the sight of God. In this same book, the Bible emphasizes, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the wise man said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You can make a list of those who are called righteous. Look up that word righteous. You know how many times the word righteous is used? Do you know of whom that word is used? In Matthew 25, it is used of those who are blessed, you remember? Come ye blessed of my Father. Who's he talking about? Those on the right hand. Who's that? The righteous. The righteous shall go into life eternal. The righteous are those who are blessed. Are we doing righteousness at all times? In Proverbs 22 and in verse 14, the Bible says, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor increases riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. What's he talking about? Righteousness and judgment versus lack of judgment and unrighteousness. And so it's imperative that we keep judgment and do righteousness. Another example of the blessed man in Psalm 112 in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man, who is it? That feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And so the blessed man is the man who fears the Lord. That is to respect the Lord, to reverence him. That's the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Again, the psalmist would emphasize that in Psalm 128 and in verse 1 when he says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And then in verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Do I fear the Lord? Do I walk in the fear of God? Do I respect God like I should? Am I afraid of displeasing God? But also from Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. Walk where? In the law of the Lord. And so the blessed man walks in the law of the Lord. How am I walking? Where am I walking? In the law of the Lord? Finally, Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Who's the blessed man? He keeps and seeks. See that? Psalm 119:2. Keep what? His testimonies. That goes along with what John said, Revelation 22, isn't it? Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments and that seek him what? With the whole heart. That's important. The whole heart. Look up that expression, the whole heart. My whole heart. It's used a number of times. And it's used here in reference to seeking God. You know why there'll be those who'll find God? Why there'll be those who'll hear the words, come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit? Because they kept and they sought. And they did it with all their heart. You know why there'll be those who will not? Why there'll be those who'll be cursed and cast off and hear those words depart? Because they didn't. They didn't keep. They didn't hold on. They didn't seek. Did you know the psalmist says so much about the blessed man? Makes for a good study, doesn't it? And a good little checklist. How am I walking? I measure my walk with his walk. How am I standing? What's my standing today? I measure that by how he stood, where he stood. What about when it comes to where I sit? Am I found sitting some places I ought not be sitting? Where's my delight? What brings me satisfaction? What is it that makes me happy? Is it in the law of the Lord? Do I meditate in his law day and night? Or do I need to do more of that? Am I like a tree? Am I planted? Am I fruitful? Where am I putting my trust? Is it in the Lord or is it somewhere else? Has my transgressions been forgiven? Have I acknowledged my sin? Or am I trying to hide it? What about when it comes to pride? What's my attitude toward that? Have I turned aside to lies? Do I consider the poor? Am I chosen by God? Have I cast my lot among the people of God by being baptized into Christ? Do I dwell in God's house? Where's my strength? Is it in the Lord? What's my attitude toward the Lord's chastening? What about judgment and righteousness? Do I do that at all times? Do I fear the Lord? Am I walking in the law of the Lord? Am I keeping his testimonies and seeking him with my whole heart? That's the blessed man of Psalms. And that's really the aim and the end of this book, isn't it? Not just the book of Psalms, but the book of books, the Bible, is to make us the blessed man. To realize that there are two groups of people, there are two kinds of people. There's the blessed people and there's those who are cursed. It's always been that way. Always will. And our aim in life is to be among those who are blessed. You might like to keep this list somewhere handy. You can look to it from time to time. To make sure that we're among those who are blessed. And when it comes to the end of our life, we'll be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come, thou blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's what it's all about. If you find that you're not among this description, it doesn't fit. There's something that you need to work on. Pray God you'll have the courage, the conviction, and the time to make whatever changes that need to be made. That you might be the blessed man. If you've got sin in your life that needs to be forgiven, why don't you take care of that? If you're not in Christ today, won't you believe on the Lord and repent of your sins and confess your faith and be baptized? If you've obeyed the gospel but you've not been faithful, you've not been dwelling in God's house like you should, and you've not been keeping and seeking with your whole heart, won't you make that right? Won't you acknowledge that, not hide it, but confess it unto God that He might forgive you? We stand ready to pray with you and for you. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.
Blessed are they who